Well, welcome everyone again to another Help and Hope for Families broadcast. You can listen to the programs we've done these last three summers by going to your iTunes app and typing in the search bar, Help and Hope for Families. I'm Tim Tucker, affiliate staff member of Family Life here in the Pittsburgh area, along with Scott and Catherine Mercer, members of our Pittsburgh Family Life team, and Tom and Pam Jones. Tom is an associate pastor and a licensed Christian counselor, and Pam is a real estate agent in the Pittsburgh area. So welcome back, panel.
If I didn't say it before, let me say it again. Tim, thanks so much for having us here.
I can see your face.
We so appreciate it.
It's good to have you guys. Well, last week we talked about the crucial importance of forgiveness in a marriage relationship and how without it, marriages can be destroyed. You know, Christ commanded us to love one another as he has loved us, and he wants us to forgive one another as he has forgiven us. Well, we read in Matthew 18, 21 to 35, the story about a servant who would not forgive a fellow servant a debt he owed him, and what in reality was God's reaction to it. The original servant owed his master a huge amount of money that he never could repay in many lifetimes. He begged his master for forgiveness, and he graciously granted it to him. However, the same servant went out and caught a fellow servant who owed him just a few dollars in comparison. The fellow servant begged him to forgive him, but the first servant refused, took him out, took him by the throat, and threw him into prison. And when the master found out about it, he became very angry that this wicked servant, as he called him, would not forgive his fellow servant such a tiny debt and show compassion when he had forgiven him such a massive debt and showed compassion on him. So the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured in prison till he should be paid what was owed him. And Jesus concluded the story by saying, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from the heart do not forgive your brother." So we can see from this passage that we need to forgive, not just from our mouths, but from our hearts as well. So C.S. Lewis said, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you."
So one of my favorite people in the Bible, of all of them, is Joseph. Mm-hmm. He was a perfect example of forgiveness. He was rejected by his family, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery. Mm-hmm. He ended up spending all that time in jail for absolutely no reason. But even though his family did that to him, he came back to them and he wept on them. He didn't abandon them as they had him, mm-hmm. but he forgave them. Mm-hmm. And so just look at what he would have missed out on mm-hmm. had he not had that forgiving spirit. He was able to have his father back with him, mm-hmm. and the nation of Israel was started through his family. Yeah. So it's amazing. So what in the scripture it says, "You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good," mm-hmm. to save many people. And that's Genesis 50 and 20.
So his forgiveness was the requirement for the restoration of that relationship with
Absolutely.
His family.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. yes.
Well, and that did not depend on what his brothers did or didn't do.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Began yeah. with Joseph. Mm-hmm.
Began with him.
So, yes. Catherine, where does the power come from for a believer in Christ to forgive another person?
Let's talk about the power of the Holy Spirit again, mm-hmm. what God places in our heart. Yeah. Stephen is a terrific example as he was being stoned. And we find that in the scriptures in Acts 7, 55 and 60. And the scriptures tell us, "But he," Stephen, "being full of the Holy Spirit, kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.'" Mm. He let the Holy Spirit so fill and control his heart that forgiveness was a natural outpouring of the Spirit of God within him. And, you know, we've got to ask ourselves the question, what about you and me today?
Mm. You know, even Christ on the cross said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They know not what they do."
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So here are all these people that have crucified him. They stoned him. They beat him. They did all these terrible things. And he just said, "Father, forgive them."
And the whole time he was doing it for them.
Yeah, because they don't know what they're doing.
Exactly.
I'm doing this to help them, to restore them to this, that, and yet they're killing me for it.
Yeah.
But forgive them anyway.
Right. Well, we talked about what Christ had said about someone who doesn't forgive someone else. And so, Tom, what does an unforgiving spirit do to us?
Well, I think the bondage of an unforgiving spirit places us into a prison. You know, I was thinking as Pam was speaking earlier about Joseph, and I had never thought about that till she was speaking about it a moment ago. Had he stayed in a deep bitterness, which he could have done, I suppose, from a human standpoint, that would have really been a worse, longer prison sentence than he had when he was actually in the prison. So the unforgiveness like places us in a prison. It isolates us from the ones who love and care for us the most.
Yeah.
And it can make us unusable and ineffective in our service for the king. Think about Joseph again. Had he stayed in bitterness rather than a place where God could use him, God placed him there for a purpose to build a nation through whom the Savior would come.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he was able to be used by God. So if we're not forgiving, then we might very well be in a place where God can't use us.
And for Joseph, there's nothing like being incarcerated for doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
He did the right thing and ran the other way, and yet here he is put in prison for it. Now, he sure could have been better for that,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So we should really talk about a missing factor that we could miss altogether, which is the word love. And in 1 John 4:19-21, it says, "We love him because he first loved us. And if a man says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that has done not loving his brother who he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God love his brother also."
And 1 Peter 4:8 says, "And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins." The grace of God covers our sin, much like some people are very good at using saran wrap. I am not. But if you stretch it out right, it stretches and it covers everything. When I do it, it kind of just wads up. But if you do it right, it covers everything.
I have to say I'm very bitter about saran wrap.
Me too.
I mean, I just can't ever get it, and I just throw it away.
Just use aluminum foil.
That's it. Okay, moving on.
I have a special dispenser for saran wrap. It comes off real easy. I have to sell it to you.
Oh, that's it. You got to have the right tool.
Work smarter, not harder.
That's right. Well, you know, I've seen marriages split, friendships broken, churches divide, parents and children estranged from each other, all because they lack the love to and desire to forgive each other. So someone may ask, how is love and forgiveness connected? So Paul says in Colossians 3:12-14, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." And I love that last part. Put on love, which binds everything together in unity.
Mm-hmm. You know, that brings about the point about why are we so deficient in the ability to forgive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that really stems from it's not natural. Right. It's supernatural, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we are not naturally predisposed to just be forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
We always seem to get that mixed up. And so we have to go into a supernatural source in order to find the ability to do that. That is absolutely paramount. Honestly, that's a cornerstone idea. So in John 15:5, Christ says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, because without me you can do nothing." We need that supernatural link in order to have that. And that's a testimony, because when we're able to honestly, truly forgive, and a person senses that, it resonates with them, they're going to say, "Wow, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. What gives you the ability to do that?" And you can say, "Hey, it's not me. This is God. This is a God act. This is a God thing."
Absolutely.
So Acts 1:8 says, "You should receive the power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witness unto me." And if Christ's disciples couldn't even catch fish without him, neither could they catch men without him. So forgiveness comes in the form of, we need his help. We cannot do that on our own.
Amen.
That is so beautiful, and I appreciate you reminding us of that, Scott, because in and of ourselves, we cannot forgive. So when we harbor bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness towards our spouse or someone else, we are in control, not the Holy Spirit. You know, that reminds me of a story way back. I'm sure many of you have heard how Corrie Ten Boom, after World War II, was in a particular church or a setting where she was sharing her story and her testimony. And into the back walks one of the SS officers who was directly responsible for her not doing well in her prison camp, and I think impartially responsible for the death of her sister. And she had a choice to make in that moment. Will I forgive this man or not? He came up afterwards. She felt like her arm, her hand froze. And by the power of the Spirit, her vertical prayer to God, she said something came over her. She was able to extend her hand and extend forgiveness to this officer. Wow. I can't think of a more powerful example in history where someone's testimony taught us exactly what we're talking about tonight.
Right. And I can't either, Catherine. And we have to remind ourselves, God never asks us to do something that he won't empower us to do.
So true.
So believe by faith that he will do what he promised, and then stand back and just see what can be done through the Spirit of God. And just thank him for what he does, because it is not in us. I mean, she was not able to do that moment through the power of herself. It had to be the Spirit of God inside her. And and we all, those of us believers, we have that inside us, that he'll control our hearts if we'll give it to him.
You know, and I think he takes delight in that, just like he delights in helping us witness to others. I think he delights in helping us be able to forgive. Powerful thought. Hadn't thought about that till just this moment.
And it does make quite an impact when we can, in genuineness, go through that act.
Absolutely.
It's so easy to see a falsehood. But in genuineness, when you really see somebody going through that, you're like, man, that's powerful. So
right. I think in that moment, Corrie Ten Boom's story, that SS officer saw literally the power of the Spirit.
Amen.
So learn more about forgiveness through our weekend to remember. Our events coming up in October and November, the end of October 29th to 31, and November also
12 to 14. WeekendToRemember.com. Go there. You can learn how to register. We'd love to see you there.
And you can also contact me if you have any questions about Family Life's resources or the Weekend to Remember. I'm Tim Tucker again at 412-337-3858, or you can email me at tptuck@juno.com. And I don't know if we talked about the pastor's scholarship, but
If any pastors out there that are listening, they certainly do apply for and get a scholarship coming to the Weekend to Remember. If you go to Weekend
to Remember
/pastor WTR.
You got it. And by the way, that scholarship is for the pastor and his or her spouse. So we'd love to have you as a couple.
Well, thank you, each one of you, for joining us tonight again. And we'll see each one of you next week on Help and Hope for Families.
Thanks.